Good morning, and I welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. This morning on the program, I want to talk about our sex-filled society. We live in a world where a sexual relationship outside of a godly marriage is promoted at every turn. And I want to talk about that and study with you this morning on the program. We've got to learn how to avoid the pitfalls of sexual immorality. It's everywhere. And it's not just a problem among the young people. Older people can have the same problem as well. This matter of a sexual relationship outside of a godly marriage, it's promoted. It's in our music. It's in our movies. It's in our TV programs. It's in people that are looked to as examples. It's in politicians. It's in athletes. It's in movie stars and music stars, and it is everywhere. It's in the workplace. It's in the college environment. It's everywhere. Online, of course, with pornography and other things, it is promoted there. It's encouraged and promoted there. We live in a sex-filled society, and the devil knows how to take something that is inherently good and turn it into evil. The sexual relationship between a man and a woman, that's actually created by God. It was created by God in Adam and Eve, but it was created to be fulfilled in a marriage relationship. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, Adam and Eve were told to be fruitful and multiply. They are to engage in that sexual activity that bears children. That's a good thing. It's a wholesome thing. It's a God-designed thing, but it has to be kept within marriage. The same God that made the male and female and the ability to do that also made the marriage relationship in Genesis chapter 2. But the devil always knows how to take something good and turn it into evil. He does that all the time. He takes the truth and bends it and turns it into a lie. He takes the sexual relationship within marriage and takes it outside of marriage. He takes the true New Testament church and he turns it into modern day denominationalism. And we could go on and on and on. Beware that that is a ploy and a tactic of the devil to turn something inherently good and turn it into evil. And the sexual union between a lawful husband and wife is meant to be a good thing. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23 and 24, the man is to leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, one physically in the sexual union and one emotionally. But the devil, in time, turned it into something that should not be the case. And you come over to chapter 4, and Cain had children, and Lamech, one of those, had two wives, not one. And so we begin to see the degradation of the monogamy, the one husband or wife that is to be. And it just gets worse from there. In the New Testament, fornication, the Greek word porneia, which is any sexual intercourse outside of a godly marriage, this could be with a man or a woman, it could be homosexuality, it could be bestiality, any form of sexual intercourse outside of a godly marriage is described by God as a sin. Romans chapter 1 and verse 29, it's listed among the groups of sins that the Gentile world was engaged in Paul's day. The Corinthians, before they became Christians, they were fornicators and adulterers. Adultery is sexual intercourse where unlawful sexual intercourse where one person is a spouse to another, at least one, they both can be, but they, one or both can be a spouse, a lawful spouse to another, adultery. But in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, Colossians 3, 5, it is a sin that is a part of that old man that needs to be put off. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire. Galatians 5, 19, it's a work of the flesh. And Revelation 21, 8, which is something that should catch our attention when John writes about some of those occupants of hell after the judgment day, some of those who will occupy hell are the fornicators. So it's a very serious thing. And then the last mention I'm pretty certain that I know of in Revelation 22, 15, outside of heaven, again, a list of people who are not in heaven, fornicators, murderers, idolaters, everyone that makes a lie, loves and makes a lie. So it is clearly a sin. So friends, I want to turn, if you will, let's turn together, if you have your Bible, to Proverbs chapter 7. I'm going to talk about how that we can avoid this sexual immorality. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 7. I'm going to talk about some situations that are presented here. It's a chapter where in the Proverbs of Solomon, he is telling how to live properly, good things to do, wise things to do, unwise things to avoid. And he has this chapter where the majority of it is speaking of this sexually explicit woman who's inviting someone to have sex with her outside of marriage, much like a prostitute. And there are some warnings here and some situations that are going on here where we can learn what is going on. And if we can learn these things, we can avoid this great sin that is so prevalent. This matter is so important to Solomon and those of his day that there's actually four chapters toward the beginning of the book that are devoted to this very subject. Proverbs 2, Proverbs 5, Proverbs 7, and Proverbs 9 all have sections in it that deal with this foolish, ungodly, unvirtuous woman who's trying to get men to have sex with her. That is a lot of material. And just like it's prevalent today, it was prevalent then in the days of Solomon and those who came after him. And so there's this great warning on how to stay away from this wisdom that is given. There's a heads up, if you will. This is going to happen. So be mindful of it and don't fall into these traps. So let's look at it this morning, friends. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the tablet of thy heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman." And then it launches into this discussion of a woman who's trying to get a man to engage in unlawful sexual activity, sexual immorality. Look at what is described here. A real case scenario is described, and we're supposed to learn from it. This is what a woman does. This is how a man falls into this trap. Learn from it. And even though we are centuries and even millennia removed from this time frame, it is exactly the same thing going on today. The details of it might change a little bit. The technology of it might change a little bit of it. But it's the same old sin in the same old approach and garb. So let's learn. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 1. Let's learn the first thing that we need to be careful about. I'm sorry, Proverbs 7 verse 5. "That they may keep thee from the strange woman and from the foreigner that flatters with her words." Let's stop right there. The first thing that we need to be mindful of is sexual conversation. We need to avoid any talk or all talk that seduces one to sexual immorality. There's going to be a conversation. It might be about love. It might be about body parts. It might be about getting someone to feel comfortable with somebody else. Suggestions and innuendos, or it might be more explicit, but words are going to be spoken. Later in the chapter, in chapter 7 and verse 21, with her much fair speech, she causes him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forces him along. He goes after her straightway as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the correction of the fool. Notice words are being used. Till an arrow strike through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare and knows it not, it is for his life. So, words are used. Flattering with her words. You need to avoid conversation that is sexually charged. In Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth. And then later in Ephesians 5:3-5, be careful about foolish talk or foolish jesting. So words can be used, and here we have false flattery. There's certainly nothing wrong with commending somebody, but this is flattering someone in order to get them into bed. So number one, be careful about sexual conversation. Let's keep reading. Verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked forth through my lattice. I beheld among the simple ones. This is not simple in the sense of easy. It's simple in the sense of someone who's not wise. They're not using their brains. They're not thinking. I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening of the day, and in the middle of the night, and in darkness. The second thing I want you to notice is sexual entertainment, where you go somewhere where someone is engaged in this activity. So she goes to her corner. Here we get the concept even going on today, where the prostitute will often stand out on the corner. Unfortunately, we have that going on here in America. Just earlier this year, I took a family trip and we spent some time in Las Vegas, and they had that going on there. It's sad to see a woman who is prostituted, someone who's made in the image of God, that people are treating just like an object, or men and others using her for money and exploitation. It's really sad. But there will be an environment, there'll be an area in which this is going on. If you jump down to verse 11, she is clamorous and willful. Her feet abide not in her house. Verse 12, now she is in the streets, now in the broad places, and lieth in wait at every corner. You jump on down to verse 24. Now therefore, my sons, hearken unto me, and attend to my words of my mouth. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she has cast many down wounded. Yea, all her slain, not literally, but figuratively, slain with this sin, and some even die from it physically, are a mighty host. Her house is the way to Sheol, or the grave, going down to the chambers of death. So there's this place where she's hanging out. I'm going to call it sexual entertainment. We need to avoid all activities that make it easy to commit sexual immorality. We need to flee fornication. Run away. Run away from it. 1 Corinthians 6:18. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful lust. Don't go to places where this would be engaged in, whether it's the internet or somewhere else. Stay away from that. Here's the next thing. Look at verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and wily of heart. The attire of a harlot. Number three, avoid sexual attire. Stay away from people who are wearing things to attract you sexually. We should avoid all clothing ourselves and in that of others that attracts one to sexual immorality. The lust of the eye. John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the eye. Notice that she's wearing the attire of a harlot. Why is it that the prostitute wears very little clothing so you can see her legs or her chest? Why does she paint herself up? Why does she dress with certain kinds of clothes to be visually attractive and physically attractive? So there is attire that is meant to excite the lust of the eye, to draw your attention to the way she looks. And so we need to be mindful of that. The proverb writer is saying, look, this is what actually goes on, and I'm helping you in advance not to fall into the same trap that many people fall into year after year after year. You can learn from these things and not be fooled into this sexual immorality. So, number three, be mindful of sexual attire and avoid it at all cost. When you see that kind of thing, often the person is loose. And a lot of times in our society, unfortunately, it's not someone who is dressing a certain way to be paid for this sexual favor. Sometimes people have lost their sense of modesty. I say sometimes, it's actually very often with cheerleaders and other kinds of ways that people are dressing. They're not engaged in prostitution, but they are very loose in their morals and in their thinking. And they want you to look at their body engage in the lust of the eye. They want you to look at them that way. That is very, very common in our society, and we see it more and more. So just understand that the devil is using that to attract you. Then come down with me to verse 13. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face she said unto him, sacrifices and peace offerings are with me. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Verse 13, she caught him and kissed him. Sexual touching, bodily contact that excites one to sexual immorality. Now, just like the sexual relationship between a husband and wife, God made the human body, the male human body, the physical male human body, to have parts on it that when touched are aroused. That is the way in which we're made. But again, that is to be confined to a husband and a wife. That is there for a purpose, to start the process, if you will, of that relationship that is to be fulfilled in marriage. That is a God-given thing. But people start with kissing, and then it leads to something else, and you keep going, and then you find yourself engaged in sexual immorality, and it's someone who's not your lawful spouse. And when I say lawful, I'm not talking about laws of man's society. I'm talking about laws of God's word that allows a man to be husband and wife. And that's another topic for another discussion. But God's law, that's what we need to follow. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, Paul mentions an interesting word there as a work of the flesh. It's translated lasciviousness in some versions. Other versions have the word licentiousness. In that word is the word license, where you feel like you can do what you want, even though you're not supposed to be doing that. The Greek word asogeia includes in its definition the unchaste handling of males and females. Unchaste handling of males and females. What is that? Well, touching someone in ways that you shouldn't be touching them, okay? That lead to sexual, the lust of the eye, generating sexual feelings that you should not be having because this person is not your lawful spouse, and sometimes leading to the actual sex act itself. Unchaste, unholy, impure handling of males and females. So notice that there is this physical contact going on in Proverbs chapter 7, and that needs to be avoided. Somebody says, well, I'm just out on a date, and I'm not going to let it get out of hand. And it starts with hand-holding, and then it goes to kissing, and then it goes to other things. And sometimes people end up with their clothes off, and we've got a problem. So be mindful of that. And again, the proverb writer is listing these things in advance. Let's keep going. Verse 14 and 15, sacrifices of peace offerings are with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Notice the next thing is sexual justification. She's making justification as to why you can have this sexual relationship with me. I've made my sacrifices according to the law of Moses. I've given my peace offerings. I've paid my vows. Look at how religious I am. And I'm doing what God wants me to do over here in the temple. And everything's fine. Don't worry about anything. I'm all good. And so there's this justification that goes on. We need to avoid all excuses that justify sexual immorality. Well, my spouse is not paying me attention, or I'm single and I just have these urges that I need to engage in. And we could just go on and on and on. Nobody will know, and whatever the case might be. We make up these excuses and these justifications. It reminds me of Lot's two daughters in Genesis 19:31. Our father is old, and there is no man in the earth to come unto us after the manner of all the earth. Well, Sodom and Gomorrah had just been destroyed, but there are plenty of men in other places that they could marry, but they lay with their father and had children with him. People make these excuses, and they try to justify their sexual immorality. So be mindful of that. And it's this idea of, we're fine, we're good, I'm okay. And don't worry about it. Don't worry about God. I've made my sacrifices. I'll be okay. And you've got to really be careful about that. People try to make all kinds of justifications. I'll do it just this one time, or whatever the case might be. These are tactics, situations that are with this woman, and we're to be learning in advance what is going on here. The same thing goes on in 2025. And then one last thing. Look with me at verses 16 through 20. I have spread my couch with carpets of tapestry, with striped cloths of yarn of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the man is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him. He will come home at the full moon. One last thing we need to avoid is a sexual atmosphere. A sexual atmosphere. We need to avoid all places that make it easy to commit sexual immorality. Notice that she has a room set up where this bed has been perfumed, you see. And the man is gone. We've got plenty of time. Come on in here. Things are going to smell good. Things are going to look good. And we've got all the time in the world. Just come in and enjoy yourself. And a lot of times, an environment will set the mood for eventually committing some sort of sexual immorality. And so be mindful of that. Sometimes people will start off in a bar or a dance setting, dance floor, dance bar, and the music's going, the environment, the atmosphere is allowing you to lower your inhibitions, and then you throw in some alcohol there, that lowers it even more. Or it could be somebody where there's no alcohol and there's no bars, it's just the back seat of a car. It could be someone's apartment. It could be mom and dad are not at home, hotel room, whatever. We get into this thinking that, well, I can pull this off as long as I'm in an environment that is conducive to this. And we've got to be very, very careful about that. And so avoid those kinds of places. Friends, as I close the program this morning, we don't have to engage in this kind of thing. We don't have to be tricked into a sin that will keep us out of heaven. And because it's so prevalent, again, I'm calling it our sex-filled society, and I don't believe I'm wrong in classifying it that way because it is everywhere. We need to guard ourselves against it. So just a few closing admonitions. Number one, don't look. We don't have to look in that direction. When Jesus talks about where sin comes from, he says it comes from the heart. Matthew 5:19, out of the heart comes forth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, railings. These are the things which defile the man, and they come from the heart, Jesus says. So don't even look. Don't even get that planted in your heart. The second thing I would say is run away. Flee fornication. 1 Corinthians 6:18. You might find yourself in a situation where you have to physically just get out of there. It could be a dating situation. It could be something that you happen onto when you're online or on with your phone. It could be you're having lunch with a coworker. You didn't know that it was going to go down this path, and you hear or see that it's going down this path. It's perfectly fine to say, excuse me, I need to go. And whether it's friend, someone you shouldn't be with, whatever, feel free to run away. Joseph did that with Potiphar's wife. He just ran away. She grabbed him, and he ran away. When she wanted to have a sexual relationship with him, he just ran away, there in Genesis chapter 39. So feel free to do that. He ran off and left his cloak behind him. You've got to be willing to do that. She said, lie with me, Genesis 39:12. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Just run away. Number three, confine the sexual relationship to marriage, 1 Corinthians 7:1-5. And last of all, always guard yourself against this sin. Keep your body pure and holy, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Thank you for your time this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. And please contact us if you want further study. I hope that you'll have a good day.